What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Game Over Greggy Show. This is a little weird, isn't it?
It's a little strange, because
First of all, Greg's not here. It's the first episode. It's episode 48. The first episode Greg's never been here for a show. But it's still called the Game Over Greggy Show. I imagine this would be what it'd be like if, like, say, Sally, Jesse, Raphael, you know, had a guest host or something like that. Is that too old of a reference?
Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm with you. Okay, you understand what I'm saying. The red glasses, Donahue. Is that a little too old? That's probably a little too old too. Yeah.
No, these are good.
So the Game Over Greggy Show is, you know, I'm not gonna try to be Greg today. I'm not gonna tap on the table. I'm not gonna be really loud. You can just tweet at him at Game Over Greggy and tell him why isn't he here? Why did he abandon us? Why doesn't he love us anymore? Why doesn't he love you anymore?
I thought he was coming back.
He'll be back next week. He's in Columbia, Missouri. Him and Steimer have gone for vacation. Obviously, that's where Mizzou is. His beloved Mizzou. He's seeing some football games, some old friends, and things of this nature.
Now,
I'm very excited, first of all, about our special guest, but before we do that, before we get there, let's introduce the seducer slash producer. Is that right, Nick? Or is it the seducer slash producer?
It's the producer slash producer.
So it's...
Nope, it's producer.
You're the producer and the producer.
You know what's funny on that? I got tied up on whether it was a forward slash or backslash, because we haven't decided yet. And I was like, and I totally screwed up my own moniker. It is the producer slash seducer.
So alphabetical. Hey, alphabetical. Nick Scarpino.
It rolls off the tongue.
The pure one... Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
And the illustrious, the famous, the beautiful.
The cantankerous.
The cantankerous. Oh, what does that even mean?
That means I'm like crotchety and that's grumpy.
He's not crotchety.
You're not. I just thought that meant like
cantankerous
cool.
Sounds cool, though.
It does sound cool.
Damon Hatfield.
What's up, everybody?
Very excited that Damon's here. It's going to be a great episode, with or without Greg. Greg, why did you leave us? So on the Game Over Gregor show, we have four topics. Four, sometimes five best friends, I think Greg says.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes come to this black IKEA table. He slams it at some point. Mm-hmm. Then he's... And you almost knocked the rare bourbon slime worth 9,000 experience points, but no gold. You get no gold. Only experience points if you beat him. And we discuss various topics here. Of course, you can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/kindoffunny. Mm-hmm. You can buy the podcast at Bandcamp. It's still gameovergreggy.bandcamp.com?
At kindoffunny.com.
Kindoffunny.com.
You can find it at kindoffunny.com. Audio or video.
I'm sorry. I'm not good at this. I've never hosted this before. This is like, for people out there that have been watching this for a long time, this is like Podcast Beyond, where it just goes completely off the rails. Where Ryan Clements and I, back in the day, you should just have to pretend that it was a completely different series. We used to call it the Fireside Chats. We did five of them. Because I can't be Greg. Tim, I can't be Greg.
Mm.
And of course, you can support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/kindoffunny.
Yes.
And we appreciate all of your support. Thank you very much. One of our new shows is coming very soon. We're very excited to show it to you. So let's get right into it, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Let's not do this 20 or 30 minute rolling start that we usually do. I like that sometimes.
You usually do a cold open.
Yeah, we're doing a cold open because what we were talking about before the show was Punky Brewster. First, we were talking about Soleil Moonfry. Then we were talking about Punky Brewster. Then we were talking about our friend Cherry Johnson.
These are all made up people. And all of this
you
is
missed
made
the
up.
Part when we were talking about Soleil Moonfry's boobs.
Yeah, and Soleil Moonfry specifically what she looks like today.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen her. But she doesn't look like she used to look.
80%
that's
chance
what
of
she's a good-looking woman. She's a good-looking woman. Yeah, she grew up to be a very, very attractive
woman. Very attractive woman.
It's very true.
And I was just saying that I remember her in the early 2000s in some skateboarding ad that she did, and I was like, that's Punky Brewster?
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's her.
I didn't know Punky Brewster even existed. Like, I thought she kind of just disappeared off the face of the planet when she was 12 years old, but she's still out there.
How old was she supposed to be when she was on Punky Brewster?
I don't know.
Like
10, 11, 12, something like that, maybe? Well, she wasn't like a teenager.
She looked young. You saw the photo. Yeah, yeah. She looked younger
she
than that,
young.
Right?
Yeah, maybe younger
I'm just
than
trying
that.
To think of that young girl on a skateboard, like in a skateboarding ad. That looks weird to me. I'm trying to picture that.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't know.
It was the 90s at that point.
No, well,
this was the 2000s. This is when she was an adult.
Oh.
Yeah,
she was an adult. Did a skateboarding ad when she was an adult?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I used to watch Punky Brewster when I was a kid. Then that character and that actress disappeared forever. And then... I was at a skate shop in New York that doesn't exist anymore called New School, and there was a poster, I think it was for Foundation, one of these skate companies, and there was a picture of her, and I was like, who's that, you know, and someone was like, that's Punky Brewster, and I was like, no way, it's not Punky Brewster, but it was, and she was like, at some point 20 something years old. Anyway.
I love how you just said, we're not doing the bullshit where we talk for,
we did it anyway. Damon Hatfield, what's your topic?
This one is a Thai root original.
Oh, okay. Mm. This is going to be good.
Yeah.
Because Thai root's mind works mysterious.
He's a demented individual.
In weird ways.
He posed this to my girlfriend and I a few weeks ago, and now she's obsessed with this question. She asks everyone that we meet up with. But so here's the question. You have the ability to teleport.
You
can teleport anywhere in the world. However, every time you teleport, you gain 2 pounds. 2 pounds that cannot be lost. Like, you'll never Ever. Lose those 2 pounds.
Can I lose the other 2 pounds? Yes, like, you the could other like, 100 and some odd thousand yeah. pounds that I already have on me?
If you weighed 200 pounds, you teleported, you weighed 202 pounds, you could technically lose all the other weight, but you'd still weigh 2 pounds.
So no matter what, I'm going to weigh 2 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm.
So the question is, how often would you use it? Where would you go? What would you use it for?
Hmm. See, that's a hard one, because my mind immediately goes, use it instead of booking those Thanksgiving flights. Mm. But I tend to gain about 10 pounds at Thanksgiving no matter what.
So now you're going
to
gain 12.
Due to the fact that my mother not only cooks the traditional American Thanksgiving, but also does an Italian Thanksgiving, which doesn't make any sense because the Italians don't, as you know, Colin, don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
No, they certainly don't.
Kind of an American holiday. Mm-hmm. But my mom will not let that stop her. She still does a cheesecake, 2 pumpkin pies, and a lasagna
right?
as well.
Oh, you got a lasagna.
So I'm thinking I would do it for vacations, because looking at vacation spots, like if I'm going to South America or someplace like Africa, those flights, despite being sometimes a day and a half, maybe like 30 hours to get to these places, tend to be insanely expensive.
Wait, hold on a second. Vacation spots like Africa.
Okay, you know my wife. My concept of vacation spot is on sitting
safari.
On my couch.
Nick and his wife going on safari.
Oh no, my wife's like, let's go look at big cats, and I was like, let's go to the vet. Like, we can just
there's a cat cafe that just opened in Oakland.
Yeah, we can just go right over there.
Really?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, cool. They're very Japanese.
They're opening one here in Hayes Valley too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. What does that consist of?
Well, it's a cat cafe.
Yeah.
So I've been to several in Tokyo, but it's basically they have like 50 cats. And they serve coffee and tea, and then it's about $10 an hour to just hang out with the cats. And then you can
love people so much.
Well, you love Japanese people.
Yes.
And then if you buy treats, you can like pay a couple of dollars to get treats, and then the cats really want to be your friend if you have the treats.
Oh my god. So yeah. Is this a Japanese thing?
You're using
even
the word
here?
Cat to mean cat, right? Where this is not a euphemism for something else?
No, you sick. You sick.
No, I just didn't know if this is like
these are
the
real
cat
cats.
Club is where you go to like, it's like a strip club or something like that.
No,
this is a legitimate feline animal that's sitting next to you.
Yep.
And you pay $10 to hang out with it.
Yep.
You can probably
is this a Japanese thing though in America?
Yeah, so now they're starting to open them here in America.
Are you going to show us this?
Yes.
Is it going to be I don't even know what this is going to be. My mind goes to pornographic, but I can't figure out how to make it.
Your mind often goes there.
That's very true.
Yeah, I know. It may take me a second to find the video.
Researching flights. If you look at flights to anywhere, because you know, you have to remember the United States, not a small continent. Mm-mm. So even to get to the other side of it is an expensive, very long, very most likely unpleasant experience. So multiply that by like 3 to get to Europe, or 2 to get to Europe, and then with layovers, stop-offs, if you're trying to go anywhere in Southeast Asia or any of those places, you're looking at a very long, hard trip.
It's arduous.
To get someplace. It's a very arduous trip. So I would definitely, I think my wife and I would probably once a year stomach the 2 pounds just to be able to instantly. Wait, is that both ways?
Yes, every time you try.
Oh,
every time
you
try. I couldn't find the video, by the way. Yeah, so the return trip, you're getting 4 pounds. Yeah.
Oh, that's
damn.
That's rough, man. Mm. You got to use this a few times. You got to only use it a few times.
But I'm saying, like Colin, you could be in Tokyo.
Yep.
Instantly.
You could be. I mean, I've done the Tokyo trip twice. The flight's not as bad. It's much worse going to Europe from here than it is, I think, to Japan. Mm. Especially because you have to stop at London or whatever, you know, whatever it is. I don't know. I don't, like, I feel like, here's the thing is, I'm like 15 or 20 pounds overweight, mostly in the gut and the ass and the thighs area. So that's going to buy me about 5 trips.
That's exactly what I'm thinking too. Is that 15 to 20, I'm like, I can get rid of that if I had to.
And then it's like, where would I want to go? I'd want to go somewhere like exotic and random. Like if I can teleport instantaneously in my mind, I'd be like, well, I'm going to dress warm. I'm going to the North Pole. Because it's just to go. And then I'm coming back. Because I can say, I went to the North Pole. I was there. You weren't there.
It's chill.
You're never going to go. It's literally never going to go.
Yeah.
Unless you're some sort of fucking adventurer with a pack of wolves, bring a sleigh with you, you know, at the right time of year. No, I just went. I just teleported and I came back. 4 pounds, whatever. You know, that's pretty cool. I don't know if I'd go to a conventional place, though, because I could never justify my mind. I'm obsessed for the rest of my life. I can't get rid of these 4 pounds because I teleported to Dubai or something like that.
See, you think you would limit yourself and you say, I'd only use it for this and this. But then, you know, God forbid, a family emergency happens at home, right? And then you can be home. You can be there immediately.
Yeah, it's to say, like, a loved one has a few hours to live or something like that. Yeah, then that's an emergency. Yeah, so maybe just having it. Maybe that's the only way you use it. It's just an emergency.
See,
but I know I'm so profoundly lazy, Nick.
Yeah,
that's the that like problem. I'm gonna be like literally 700.
Talk about
you and I know each other very, very, very well. This is how lazy I am. I buy probably almost every meal at this point because I just am too damn lazy to cook. So I can't even imagine having that at my disposal. Like, I'm talking, like, take the trash out. That's how lazy I would get.
Like, I'll just do it like, this one time. It's I'm just like, teleport to the curb.
No, because I'd have to teleport from the couch to the trash and then the rest of
them. You're going to get 8 pounds.
Yeah, an 8 pound endeavor.
Because, you know, they have this, God bless, you know, when you live with your significant other, they just constantly want you to do things. Mm. That you, whatever you're doing, they just want you to be doing something else, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So inevitably,
even
I'm going to
having sex with them.
Oh yeah, they'll be like, could you go get my Cosmo? Can you get my magazine real quick? I'm like, am I not doing this right? And she's like,
no, there's like 18 tips on hot new sex.
You need to figure those out. Yeah, but she immediately flips to ice cubes. Like, the newest nail selection of like colors. But yeah, I could just imagine coming home one day after a long day of work because you know we record this podcast pretty late. It's pretty late tonight. Mm-hmm. I get home.
It's 3:30 in the morning.
It is. It's like, how are we even awake?
We didn't know what we were doing without Greg.
It's so crazy.
It took us 4 hours just to figure out Greg wasn't here.
We were just waiting on him. The man doesn't take up an inconsiderate amount of space. Yeah, so I think I'd come home one day and she'd be like, can you just take the trash out? And I would snap and just use it 15 times in a row and be like, now look what you've done. Now look
and you'll be 60 pounds heavier. 30 pounds, I guess, because it's not the return trip.
You're getting fatter.
Where are you even going? To the next room and back.
It's like a turn on Goose's glute before our very eyes.
Yeah, I feel like
Willy Wonka. What
the emergency uses would be the most. Like you're about to get hit by a bus, teleport away, gain 2 pounds.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Yeah if you're in like a trap, like an accident's about to happen or something,
you'd just be like.
Oh yeah, what if you're on a plane and it started going down? You'd be like, well, later. Y'all,
people would think it was the rapture.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, the pilot was taken too, I guess. Yeah. This young man, where everyone else is a sinner.
Yeah.
No, they'd know me. They'd be like, no, there's no way. There's something else happened. This guy can clearly teleport.
People would find out too, right? Is it a secret necessarily? You'd probably be a big deal. You'd be like, I can teleport anywhere, but I gain 2 pounds every time I do it. Mm-hmm. I think the idea
that's
is
smart. That
it'd be a news story every time you teleport. Like, oh, yeah. He did it again.
What would your name be, though? You'd have to have a cool like superhero name. Teleporter.
What?
That's really cool.
That's cool.
Like, or, you know, yeah. Teleport or not teleport. Tim, what would your superhero name be if you were a teleporter?
Well, see, it has to include the fact that you gain weight.
Obese teleportation, man.
That's
very
good.
Literal. Very literal.
Yeah.
How about teleporker?
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Perfect.
That's good. Nailed it.
That's it. That's what
there is.
I
want to
do
answer.
That. If I had that name, I would.
I think I earned it.
Yeah, I would just jump up a bit. And jump just in. Be like, fuck it, I'm teleporting all the time.
Do you need
I'm
more?
I'm a damn teleporter. No,
but that's the other thing, too, is like, if you had that ability, you would probably transcend cool. So would you need to necessarily worry about your appearance, especially as a guy? Like, you'd be able to teleport in and out of banks, steal money, right? Like that one movie I can't think about right now.
Jumper,
thank
you. There's all sorts of weird shit you can do.
Yeah. And you could just get lipo every single time you do it. You're scheduled lipo every Monday. You just go in there and get those 2 pounds sucked
out. But the 2 pounds...
It'd be a different 2 pounds that you could have sucked out.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm just getting the.
I mean,
I got a good 20
you
pounds
maintain,
on me
right
now. Right?
Yeah, you could. You're just always taking a different 2 pounds away.
But I feel like you have like some pounds. Not all pounds are created equal. Mm. You know, I feel like there's some pounds you need. Like
yeah, but we had
you can't just
like,
get rid of it because then eventually the pounds that you're gaining, the rest of your pounds are like bones and shit. You know what I mean? You can't get rid of those pounds.
The pounds are separate but equal.
Hmm. What?
This is an interesting question.
I think as I got older, I'd be more and more willing to use it.
Yeah.
You know, you have more
you
of
give less of a fuck.
Yeah, your body's just falling apart, and you're like, whatever, another 2 pounds, throw them on. I'm going to Germany.
Yeah.
Can you take someone with you, like Jumper, where you hold on to them and they go with you?
I don't think that's how it works.
See, that's probably
issue. They would always be gaining it, too.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because I have this
get to choose where they gain it?
No, that's not how it works.
Oh, okay. Well, then, I don't know. This is not all it's cracked up to be.
I have a situation going on right now where I get to fly for free, and it's awesome. But it's not so awesome because only I get to fly for free, and I can't bring anyone
with
me.
Why do you get to fly for free?
Long story that I don't want to say on the show. But it's cool.
He's sleeping with a flight attendant.
But it sucks not being able to bring people. And I'm just like, well, shit, this becomes kind of useless now. So the whole teleporting thing, I don't think I'd be using it for, like, you know, vacation stuff. It'd be more for, like, business. Like bank robbery.
By business, you mean crime. Yeah.
What's interesting about this story is that at first glance, it's very simple, but it becomes much deeper.
Mm-hmm.
deeper
that's
ever
the,
yet.
It's the genius of Tyroot.
Oh God, it's simplicity at its most complex.
Well, see, that's the thing. I would love to hear Tyroot's answer because he is a beautiful man.
Yeah,
and I can see no 2 pounds ruining him.
No way, Tyroot's doing that. The man has abs, like they look literally like this table.
His abs have abs.
His abs have abs. His abs have veins that I didn't know. I'm like, did you get those put in? Like, those aren't real. Like, no one has veins.
That's veins
down there.
In the wrong place.
Like, every time he'll turn, like, oh, like to catch a football or something with his shirt off. And I'm just like, you just.
Footballs are just constantly being thrown at Tyroot.
When you're shirtless. And he's catching them.
You look that good shirtless. You're just getting footballs thrown at
you. So they're like, you want me to throw this football at you, right?
Yeah. Hey, shirtless guy, here's a football. Yeah, thanks, man. I needed it. What the hell are we talking about?
I don't know.
Ty, no way he's going to do it. No way. Ty is just, he's like.
He won't take any extra weight?
I don't think he would. Because also it's Ty. Like, he's just one of those guys that you'll be like, Ty, I'm going to freaking Thailand or something. He'll be like, all right, man, have fun. And he just shows up and you have no idea how he got there. He's like, oh, man.
He's had this. And maybe he loses 2 pounds every time. Oh, he's trying to throw us off his trail right now.
That's probably why. Mm. Yeah, that's exactly right. I don't know.
Very complex.
Figured out Tyroot.
It's very complex. Very complex.
What do you think? What can we answer for Greg? Do you think we could answer?
Greg. Team Fat, are you
kidding
me?
Greg would bring him on, right?
Greg would do it as an excuse for why he's losing all this weight and slowly not becoming Team Fat anymore.
He's not.
You know, he's
he's a quitter.
Yeah, we have some strife between he and I right now because he's ordering salads and eating only one portion of food.
Do you think that's... Is it...
Colin, who ordered... What did you order? You ordered the chicken sandwich combo meal at Burger King and a Whopper also.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm dedicated. I'll work out really hard in the morning. That's the only reason. Like, when I went to the doctor last week or a couple weeks ago, they weighed me and they're like, "You're 10 pounds lighter than you were last year." And they're like, "Did you? Are you eating better?" And I'm like, "No, I'm eating just as bad as I always did." And they're like, "You're exercising?" And I'm like, "Yes, I'm exercising really hard in the morning."
It's good.
And they're like, "Yeah, you're 10 pounds lighter." I'm like, "Sweet." So I can have my cake and eat it too. Literally.
Damn.
Literally.
It's good for you.
But as far as Greg, I don't know. I feel like he could use it as a crutch to rejoin. You know, get out of the minor league at Team Fat, come back and be our cleanup hitter like he used to be. Or he's so proud of his new physique, because everyone's telling him how skinny he is all the time, that maybe he's reluctant. Plus, Greg doesn't like to travel. Greg travels, but he doesn't really like to travel.
Mm-hmm.
He won't go international anymore. When he went to Japan, he went for fun last year, and that was the first time he went overseas in like years. If you pay attention at IGN, he doesn't go on any international trips.
Yeah.
So I think he's the least susceptible of all of us to use it.
Might be true.
Which is interesting.
I would agree. I think. Should we call him? Or is that cheating?
No, don't call him. Well, maybe we'll call him for another topic. I don't want to waste it on this topic necessarily. If we feel like we can get a better answer out of him later. If you don't feel that way, then you call him right now.
All right.
It's a risk. It's risk reward. It's based not on the quality of the topic, but the number of topics.
I feel bad because he's on like a vacation of some sort, right? The man never takes any time off. I don't even know what.
Yeah,
the hell
but I call Greg and bother him all the time.
That's true. But I don't want to bother him with work. I mean, you get anxiety about this sort of thing. You know?
Yeah. It's a lot to think about.
It's a lot to unpack.
A lot to unpack. Yeah. I like that saying. Been hearing that a lot lately.
You know what? You started it in my brain.
Yeah.
Most of the sayings, like, oh my god, if I. Keep talking. I'll think of the other thing I say. I vacillate a lot.
Oh, vacillation.
Vacillation is a really good word.
And my wife was like, vocabulary.
Where did you get the term vacillate from? And I was like, you know, sometimes I want to do this, but I don't want to do the other thing. You know, I vacillate a lot. I vacillate a lot. And she's like, you vacillate a lot. And she's like this close from asking me to spell it, and I won't be able to.
There are certain words that are Colin Moriarty words. Myriad
mm-hmm.
is another one.
Yeah. Now, I can't take too much credit for me. This goes so far back, as you might know. Myriad was originally a Mark Ryan word that I co-opted because we used to talk about, is it a myriad of... Because you can use it in two different ways. You can say, like, I have a myriad of books on my shelf. Or you can say, I have myriad books on my shelf.
That sounds
Are
they both right? Or
they're both right.
Okay.
And that's how the word became, like, we used to use it as a joke, and then I just actually started using it every day.
That second one sounds like bullshit.
The second one? No, I have myriad.
More correct to me.
Really?
I have myriad things. I have myriad.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, it's an interesting. I can take credit for that, but it's not really my word.
It's a good word.
It's a great word.
One could just use variety, but you like myriad.
Plethora.
Plethora is a good word.
Well, yeah.
When I write a lot, I use a few words to describe a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Deluge.
Deluge, great word.
Litany.
Why are you pronouncing it? Isn't it deluge?
I don't know. I just say deluge.
Okay.
It's Colin, by
niche.
The way.
I say niche, and everyone's like, it's niche.
Niche. Colin has a
yeah, we
special...
say niche. It's, the Europeans say niche. Yeah.
But I'm not... I'm
technically,
European.
Both are fine.
I say niche. I yeah, don't say
that's
niche.
Good. There's no accent aigu on the E, though. That's not something.
Yeah, but like Nick Lachey. Hmm. I like
niche.
Him.
I like to say niche, just to pitch people off if there's a T in there somewhere.
Just to pitch
niche.
People?
I think...
Well, that's what
a lot of people.
That's
say
what niche. A lot of Americans say.
Yeah,
their niche.
I will. I have noticed though, Colin, that you, and I don't know that you do it on purpose, but I think there is a certain style to the way you mispronounce things sometimes.
Like
that
is like Mario, or
he? No, there's like you don't say thanks, you say thanks. Sometimes, and thanks. I see in your eye that you thanks. Know you're doing it. Well, it's happening.
People have said
sometimes
that I
just
say
piss Greg off.
Thanks. I mean, that's the. I mean, there's what's the one word where people commented on it. I can't remember what it is. Where it might be a TH word where like people are like, you're not even remotely saying that right. And it's like an everyday word. I'm like, that's just the way I say it.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Maybe that's
what's funny.
You've never been to Long Island. You don't know how we talk.
Sometimes you say things, and I'm like, no one says it like that. It's, and I'm not saying this is an insult. It is you like some words and some the way you pronounce certain words are just uniquely, I guess, unique. Uniquely unique to you. You just, they're just so Colin. And the more I get to know you as the years go on, the more I'm just like, I need a thing like that.
Nick, are you kidding me? You have a million things like that.
No, I need that.
You have your own vocabulary. Like,
I do.
There's people can say things you say, and it's like, Nick, instantly.
Yeah.
So much like Skadoosh.
Yeah, I love Skadoosh.
It's like, oh, that's Kung Fu Panda. No, it's not. It's Nick Scarpino.
Yeah, I stole it from Kung Fu Panda.
Skosh.
Skoshy. Yeah, a little Skosh.
When I met your brother and he said that shit, I was like, oh my god. I didn't even know him. I wasn't even introduced to him yet, and he said that. And I was like, oh, you're a Scarpino.
You literally walked in. You were at Comic-Con, right?
Yep. No, yeah. It was at E3.
At E3.
That's what it was, yeah. And you were like,
I haven't introduced him yet, and he said
that was,
it.
That was the funniest. He was like, I met your brother, I think. And I'm like, how did you know my brother? He's like, he said, Skosh. Can you move over a Skosh? And you must be Nick Scarpino's brother. It was very true.
Yeah.
He's a Patreon subscriber.
Oh, God bless him.
Yeah, he's an awesome
guy. He's a good man. Awesome. Very nice guy. Man. Very nice man.
One thing I picked up from you, Colin, was saying, like, I haven't done X in a minute. Like, oh, man, I haven't heard this song in a minute.
Yeah, that's just...
That's just, thing
that's just how I do it.
I got that from you.
That's just how I do it.
The thing I got from you is the...
That started as a joke, too, and I actually started doing that, and everyone's like, why are you doing that?
That's a very Japanese thing.
Yeah, it is. It is a very Japanese thing.
To acknowledge that you're listening to someone that...
Yeah, like, there's certain guys, like, I love Hideo Baba, who's a... like an OG at Bandai Namco. He directs all the Tales games, and he does that, and it makes it seem really like he's very engaged. He really is like super engaged in what you're saying, and it makes you feel good when you're talking to him. Because I think he understands English, but I think, you know, like some Japanese people that understand English can speak a little bit, but they're embarrassed to speak it, but they can still understand it, and then they'll just speak to a translator. I think Inafune is the same way or similar way, but yeah, I agree. I noticed that when I was there last time. I was like, yeah, it's very cool. They just have a lot more respect for everything over there than we do.
They're just the best.
They really are. They're fantastic.
They have the cats.
I've also started doing this one. Sometimes when my wife asks me to do something that I don't really want to do, I'll do the Colin. I mean, I guess I can do that.
I guess. Or you just say no. Like sometimes I'm like, no, I don't think so.
Oh, actually, I do this. I have adopted this one from you where I will just... Sometimes I know I'm going to say yes to this thing eventually. In my brain, I'm like, you're going to say yes to this. But I want to be outwardly, like, I want it to be known that I don't want to do this thing. And I've adopted your way of saying it. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's no question in my brain this is happening. It's pretty awesome.
All right, well, that was a good topic. Thank you, Damon, for batting leadoff on this episode of the Game Over Reggae Show. Nick.
Yes.
You're up. Am I correct, Tim?
Yes, you're correct. I'm really awesome. Enjoying this.
Behind the curtain, still not even sure what... I think I go after you, Nick.
Yeah,
you go next.
You. Thank you. Well, my question and my topics always come from Twitter. Remember, if you want a topic on the Game Over Reggae Show, please tweet at me, Nick_Scarpino, and sometimes I will read your topic, like at Matamur, Matamur. Did I say that?
M-A-T, what is it?
Matamur.
Matamur. Yeah, Matamur.
Cool.
Yeah, it's more than...
Ask this question. Why do Americans hate Florida? As a Canadian, I've always wondered. Do we hate Florida?
I love this topic. I don't personally hate Florida. Some people disparage it. Some people disparage the South a lot.
Yeah, but is that a thing, though? America's hating Florida?
No, but we maybe like laugh at it because it just seems like a lot of crazy shit goes down in Florida.
Absolutely.
It's like the way a lot of crazy shit goes down in Russia. Like you just see all these crazy videos...
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just kind of like that same sort of thing.
Just crazy Florida videos, like
yeah.
Well, like, I mean, there's a 25 season Florida video called Cops. And
it's one video. Yeah. Jesus.
I mean, think about it. Like, Cops takes place everywhere, but
yeah.
rarely in the north, and usually it seems like it's in Florida.
That makes sense.
I always think, so Cops specifically is funny to me. I always talk about this because I think I spoke to someone about in Europe about it once, or that was European here in the States, that like for a lot of people overseas that maybe aren't super familiar with the United States, maybe they you know, they consume our movies and our music and TV, mm-hmm. but like in terms of like so-called reality TV, they see Cops and they think that that's what it's like.
That is, you know, kind of what it's like.
There are people that's just like the fucking, like Cops are just the fucking Wild West. Like everyone's just beating the shit out of each other and stealing mm-hmm. shit and running away.
Yeah.
It's like when you think about it in the context of overseas viewers, it's really fun. Because we know it's like, oh, that's just a backwater place or bullshit, some yeah. you know, just a few people that they're making this whole place look bad. But overseas right. where maybe they don't have that context, it's like, no, what, these motherfuckers are crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but think about our main exports as far as TV goes. To other places, like we have to export the things that translate best. That's why action movies do really well in countries that don't speak English, because they're mostly predominantly action, yeah, right?
Explosions.
So yeah, you got Cops. You probably got the Kardashians because they're not saying anything really that anyone needs to listen to. Mm. That's it. I mean, those are the two shows.
Cops and Kardashians.
That's it.
We should make that show.
Cops and Kardashians.
Yeah.
No. Kardashian Cops. The
Cops is.
With, oh my
Cops
God, that's even better.
K. Cops is with the K.
Cops yeah. with the K. Oh yeah, God. Yeah, that's awesome. Like.
Keystone Cops.
Yeah.
So, 38 moments that prove just how crazy Florida is.
Ooh.
So, enraged wife stabs husband with ceramic squirrel because he didn't buy beer. Man who exposed himself tells police, I was just airing out my penis. Drunk Florida man tries to use taco as ID. Florida man accused of attacking girlfriend with banana. After lightning strike, snake bite, and monkey attacks, Florida man's gruesome shark bite is latest brush with death. So it goes on and
okay.
on. It's just like this seems to happen a lot in Florida.
Yeah.
So people don't hate Florida. They're just like,
they're
why?
Fucking crazy.
Why is so many crazy things happening in this one state?
That's
insane. I've only been to Florida once. I went for a buddy's wedding, and it was during spring break. And having gone there and spent about, we were there for a while. We were there for about 4 days. Having been in Florida at the heat of spring break, there's nothing to hate about.
Yeah, no, I was there for WrestleMania once, and it was at a good time. And there was just a lot of butts. A lot of good butts.
A lot of the women there, and men, I should say, are not ashamed at all to mm-hmm. show their bodies off, nor should they be. A lot of good-looking people there. A lot of people that, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not going to, where am I going to go with that?
Nick,
I hate
just,
when you.
Just stop.
I hate when you look at me.
That was
like, you're like, you give me the eyebrow on that side so no one can see it. You're like, don't say what you're going to say next. It's going to ruin you forever. It's fair enough, though. Man. Yeah, there's no reason to hate Florida. Florida is awesome.
I mean, let's unpack it, Nick, as we often say. Let's unpack it.
All right. Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
What are the good things about Florida? I've been to Florida many times. I'm from New York, so on the East Coast, it's easier to get to Florida. A lot of people go to Florida. I've been to Florida maybe 10 times. And I've always had a good time there. Disney World's in Florida, which mm-hmm. is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And Universal.
Come on now.
No one hates Florida.
The Keys are really nice. The beaches are awesome. If you go up, you know, you can go to Tampa. Guess you can go to Tallahassee or Jacksonville if you want. Jacksonville,
cool.
the home of Nate Ahern.
Yep.
It is a strange place. Because I'm saying, like, it's so, like, I really feel like maybe he's conflating Florida with just the South.
Mm.
And I always kind of was mystified by and a little perturbed by, like, how everyone seems to pick on the South all the time. Because it's just a little different down there. And maybe Florida is just so deep in the South. So very deep.
Mm. How deep?
Deeper than
how
Atlantis.
Deep is it? That's a reference to an old. What was the there was. This is going so far back that no one's gonna know what I'm talking about. On Game Show Network, I used to watch what the hell was it? It was like a show from the 70s where the host would say something and the crowd would say like.
It's like the Gong Show or something.
Yeah, something like that. Where like that was their thing. Where they'd be like, "She was so fat. How fat was she?" There's like a big tradition. I don't know. Someone will know in the comments for sure. Absolutely, someone will know.
Tim, you just missed out on so much.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I don't know actually, did I?
No, you didn't.
No, because
I know,
you can get it all on Netflix right now if you want.
The reason I know so much about old, like, 60s, 70s, early 80s game shows specifically is I used to work as a landscaper in Boston, and I worked as a landscaper for several years.
What did that consist of?
And mowing lawns and raking and snow removal and stuff.
You're putting
but when
down
it was
sod?
Putting down sod, yes, sod. Planting bulbs sometimes, raking leaves. But when it was raining, we had like an they had like an apartment, like an office that was an apartment, and everyone would just chill because like you can't really do any work. And we just watched the fucking Game Show Network all day. And I swear to God, I watched 500 hours of the Game Show Network when I, like, over like 2.5
Did you watch a lot of Price is Right? Was that on the Game Show Network?
No, that's too almost too new. Like, this was like the newest thing they had on there was literally like Press Your Luck, which is like mid-80s. But most of it was like original Family Feud and
Family Feud
and Password and like the $64,000 pyramid and all this like random.
Oh man, yeah,
you're wrong. You're
the dating game was
the dating game. Yeah, yeah, the newlywed game.
Yes,
but like the one from the '60s, like the really creepy one,
where they had like you couldn't see the other person, or was it the dating game? That was the dating game, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, was well, like yeah, the newlyweds you could see each other. Yeah,
okay,
and also of course Love Connection.
Newlyweds was one where they ask you questions about each other and see if you can get them right. Like, what's his favorite color? What's his favorite?
We're going to do that one day for us. Yeah, we should. We were always talking about that.
That's a really funny idea.
Us two versus
them. Oh, they're going to kill. They're going to crush us. These guys, they basically live. They're the same person.
Yeah, so. I know, but we just believe, you know?
That's true.
2016.
I'm a believer.
Scarpino Gettys.
I'll tell you this right
one
now.
One love.
If you believe in love, happiness, and prosperity, if you believe in making sure that the world is not oppressed and monkeys, you should vote for Scarpino Gettys 2016.
I love all the orangutan pictures.
They're amazing.
Oh, they're awesome. Please keep those coming. Those make my day.
Mm-hmm. Their mascot is an orangutan named Cheetos.
It's not our mascot.
He's our head of state.
Head of state.
I'm thinking about maybe
he's your regent.
He might actually become the head of Secret Service. I'm not quite sure. Or maybe the CIA. We're not. Okay. One or the other.
All three. He can.
Did you see
it.
The one that someone composited him in, like photoshopped him in right between Greg and Colin? It was like spot on. I was like, he should just be here. Where is he?
I don't know.
Damn it! You guys find him. Let us know. Tweet at us.
So I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, what do you guys think about this topic? Is it just overblown? Because like Damon was saying, there is some serious shit going on in Florida.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure if you Googled crazy shit and then anywhere. There's going to be a lot of really crazy stories. But that is a lot. Those are kind of weird.
This is actually a thing. It's actually a thing with Florida.
I would go on a limb and say that you can find crazier stories out of New York.
Well, maybe.
Probably. Yeah.
Because New York's got like...
They,
or San Francisco.
Only in New York. Yeah.
There's no like Big Apple in Florida. You know, like.
That's true. It's not really a highly condensed population like New York is. It's not really fair. But San Francisco, I've seen some weird stuff here too. I remember my first Breaker.
Well, yeah. There's some weird ass shit here.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't like San Francisco because it's too damn liberal. Like when I first moved up here, I thought it was going to be a bunch of liberal hippies.
There's something to that. Like, I'm from Kansas, so I was like always the liberal one in my family, group of friends and stuff. But like now, when I moved out here, I started feeling kind of conservative. I was just like,
you're like, wow, these guys show me up.
Yeah,
this is liberal gone amok.
Yeah,
right in San Francisco. Like San Francisco is a cool town, but it's got so many issues that it just brought upon itself. That's the thing that's really frustrating me.
And continues to bring upon itself.
Yeah, it's just the city's kind of just like a mess. I mean, it's not even the liberalism. It's just the cartoon nature of it that was born out of the liberalism. Because there really is a cartoon component to San Francisco.
Hate Street, I mean, just in general.
Yeah, Hate Street's a cartoon.
Every other house is like painted some sort of cartoonish color anywhere you go. Because there's no rhyme or reason to it. God forbid you don't let someone paint their house with like fuchsia. If they don't want, you know, there's
any self-respecting suburb would have a neighborhood committee.
You gotta have a homeowners association. Yeah, yeah. I mean, come on, people. This is conservatism at its best. Oh, God, I can't even get that word out. Conservatism
at its best. What I do like about San Francisco's liberalism is that it shrieks on libertarian, which is what I am. And it is a very live and let live city. Like, unless you're really fucking with someone, they're not going to do anything to you. I mean, like, walking just down Hate Street for 5 blocks is evidence enough that you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Oh, yeah. We can, like, right now, if we wanted to, just take all of our clothes off and go beg
for
money.
Yeah, they're all airing out their penises.
And it's fine. We're just airing out our
penises. That just doesn't even make the news.
Yeah, literally everyone outside of Shady McDonald's is standing in hate.
Shady McDonald's. That Shady McDonald's?
Yeah, that is Shady McDonald's. Wait, I have never walked in, like, in 7.5 years of
the Shady McDonald's?
Standing in hate. The one at the end of hate.
Right where the park starts?
Yeah, there's a McDonald's there. And that is the shadiest location of all time.
That's so funny you say that. I think the one that's near IGN is the shadier McDonald's.
Oh, no way.
No, yeah. Dude, because what's so San Francisco and shady about Shady McDonald's that's standing in hate is that in 7.5 years, I walked by the McDonald's scores of times. Never once, and I'm being serious, never once have I ever walked by there and not been offered weed or mushrooms or LSD ever.
I would say it's not Shady McDonald's, it's Drug Deal McDonald's. There's always drugs there. Yeah. Always.
Oh, there's so many drugs.
Other one near us is shadier. You run the risk of dying, getting shanked anytime you go to the one near IGN.
I only go there at lunch, so
I've never felt in danger at that McDonald's.
Oh, it's bad.
Not that I go to that McDonald's very often.
I've only been to that McDonald's a handful of times. mostly after drinking, so my perception of the world around me is probably somewhat more cheery than it normally is. But I will say nothing compares to that shady Burger King we were at tonight.
Oh my god, that was
pretty shady.
That's a place, dude. Yep.
The shady is that what is that on 9th and Harris or Harrison? Is it Harris?
Harrison.
9th and Harrison. Here's the combo. You've been here. I've driven you to this place.
Yes.
It's the Chevron / Burger King / Starbucks. Yeah. And it literally has more like vagrants outside of it than I have ever seen in my entire life outside of anything. And they're persistent. Like, they will spot you inside. They will follow you as you walk. And because it's all glass, so they can just follow you.
Yeah.
And they can sort of wait for you to get your burger.
Get the gas. Then they go back. Get the burger, get the coffee.
You go back to get the coffee. And then they just, like, boom, they like get on you. Like, I'd like some change.
Watch your phone.
I'd like some change.
Thanks. It's Gorilla Glass, but good looking out.
No, I just don't want you to. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I got this thing has to Why last risk me. It? Has to last me because I'm on the S generation. Hmm. I'm like me too. A bastard.
Done fucked up.
I did. What's sad is my wife's on the regular generation.
At least you're not on the C generation.
Are you? Yeah, that's a bad generation to be on.
I just don't think anybody bought the 5C. That was the cheap one, the $99.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ones that look like gumdrops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
I don't know. Where do we want to leave it? Florida?
Great,
weird.
Great state.
Great state.
Great state.
Yeah, I like good it. I like it. But
apparently getting a bad
Great looking people.
You know, amazing stories. Good weather. Those are good stories.
Yeah, it's good things
Some
going on
Some of my good friends are from Florida, mm-hmm. and they're great people.
If those kinds of things weren't happening, the world would be a much more boring place.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm so glad they're ours. Yeah, those people in Florida, they're all ours. Yeah.
I mean, isn't that sort of
Sorry,
our,
Canada.
Sorry, yeah. Canada, you're all just
Sorry to let you down,
normal,
buddy.
Nice people.
What was his name? Mr. Magoo or something like that?
Mr. Magoo.
Nope.
I don't think
that's what it was.
I wanted to be Mr. Magoo now.
Thank you for the question, Mr.
Madame
Magoo.
Maru. No, Madamer.
Madamer. Madamaru, I wish that was.
That's cool.
Skidamarinky Dinky Dink. It sounds like God. It sounds like a lyric in that.
Did you ever watch any Mr. Magoo?
No.
I mean, I know that was
That's the blind guy?
Yeah, well, he's just old and he can't see very well.
Okay.
So shenanigans ensue because he can't see that the telephone is not an ice cream cone and he's looking at it.
Yeah, like how long can that shtick go on? How many seasons was that on?
I don't know, but this is like during the 60s.
So they really...
They made a 90s movie out of it, too.
Did they? Leslie Nielsen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did like a live action Mr. Magoo?
Yeah.
This is foggy to me, but I
Leslie
think
Nielsen did
that.
It. It's so weird because he's so good. Maybe that was funny, though.
Well, he did lots of...
What was the one with the really... vampire when he was the vampire? Dead yeah. Loving It?
Dead and Loving It. Yes, it was. That's amazing that you remember that.
Yeah, I remember renting
Not
it.
Not a good movie. Also, just watch Transylvania 6-5000. Not a good movie. If you've never heard of it, don't bother.
Is that Jeff Goldblum?
Yes. And Ed Begley Jr.
Does Jeff Goldblum play Jeff Goldblum in it?
Yes. Jeff Goldblum plays Jeff Goldblum in everything.
That's the best part about Jeff Goldblum.
I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, I don't like this.
Right. As viewers of the Game Over Greggy show know, my whole hypothesis is that Independence Day and Jurassic Park take place in the same universe, and the doctors in them are the same character. He plays the same fucking character.
I don't think you've ever brought that up on the show.
Really?
I definitely don't think you have.
Oh, no. So Jeff Goldblum's character in Independence Day and in Jurassic Park, same person. I don't know how you can watch those movies and act like those are different characters. They're the same fucking character.
He survives both movies, right?
Yeah, he's just riding both. Yeah, he was in the second Jurassic Park, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was like the main character.
I didn't see the second one.
No same, one I'm telling you, Dr. What's his name? Dr. No, Dr. Malcolm's the main character.
Kev, look that up and let us know.
Is Jurassic World going to be good?
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I didn't see my thing as I loved Jurassic Park. That was one of those rare movies where I'm like, I got really into Michael Crichton for a while. I don't know why, but they had a string of movies that came out that was like Rising Sun, Jurassic Park.
What was one about the pandemic?
Or there was Congo.
There was Congo, which was the other one.
Maybe
there
was
Sphere, which was, I think, maybe the one you're thinking of. But that's Michael Crichton also. They had this amazing, like every year there was Crichton
he was a good writer.
Movie that came out. And I remember thinking, oh my God, I love these movies. And it was one of the first times I'd ever read the book before seeing the movie, which actually made me not like Jurassic Park as much because the book's a little bit better. Just has got more stuff to it. Then Jurassic Park 2 comes out, and I don't even think I saw it for some reason.
Oh, The Lost World.
I never saw 2 or 3.
Yeah, what? I've caught parts of it, and every single time, you ever have that weird thing where, like, you've only seen something one time and only one part of it, but then every time it's on, it's that part of it.
Is it the part where the trailer?
The damn trailer thing's dropping. And then I figured out, finally, you know why? Because that takes up the entire second half of the movie. Like, it is literally, that trailer is falling off that cliff for a good 72 minutes.
Yeah. that scene is, it's very memorable, though.
It's because it's so
What was the
bad.
One, was it the second one or the third one where the girl was like a gymnast?
That's the first. No, that's the second one.
Yeah, that
and
was.
She kicks the raptor.
Yeah, and she boosts the raptor in the head. Like that's like the like
before
the,
they go to San Diego.
Oh, it's so dumb.
Yeah, the second one. I remember enjoying it because I was a little kid, and it was awesome. And then I remember seeing the third one being a little let down. And then recently, I got in a huge fight with my friend, and who's Kevin, and he he was telling me, he's like, dude, the second one fucking sucked, and the third one was definitely better. I'm like, hell no. And so we were trying to rank them, and then I rewatched them all. I'm like, damn, you were so right. Like, three's not bad. Three's actually
which
okay.
Which one? Is three the one where it actually hits the city? The T-Rex?
That was
two. See, that is my problem with two. When does that happen? That's is it. That before or after the trailer falls
after 72 the trailer.
Minutes? The only thing I remember
three's
about three...
Three's not bad.
I remember two things about three. Three, I saw with my I dated a girl for a long time in high school. We went to that together. That's all I remember about that movie. And the three was a scratch mark. That's what I remember. I was like, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's all
yeah.
I remember. I don't remember a that's goddamn it. Thing about that movie. Not one thing. I don't know why.
There's a lot of pterodactyls in that one.
Who's in... Is it Pratt? Is he in Jurassic World?
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. That guy's on fire
right
now.
It is
right
Chris Pratt, yeah. He's going to be in every big movie for the next few years.
Yeah. No, Kevin just said no. Kevin, what are you saying no to? Oh, okay. So, it was Dr. David Levinson in Independence Day. Okay, we're checking on to see if it's the same doctor.
It's not. It's definitely not literally because they wanted to change the names, but it's obviously the same.
Maybe he had to change his identity.
We're
checking. He got into some trouble.
Mm-hmm. Check into it.
I will.
All right. That was a good topic.
That was a great
topic. I enjoyed that topic. Now, Tim, it's my turn, right?
It is your turn.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm not smart enough to keep up with
it. I love this.
All right, so my topic is this.
It's a complex show, by the way. You're doing a great job.
Thank
you.
I'm trying my hardest. I'm really giving my all.
You're a close, if not like, you're like a really close second to Greg right now.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Isn't it Dr. Ian Malcolm?
Ian Malcolm. Okay, so I was right. I thought Ian Malcolm was the older guy, but he is Ian Malcolm.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
It's the same. Thank you, Kevin. It's the same character. We all know that. So my topic is 90s music. Now, we were talking a little bit about this earlier, Damon and I. Now, Damon and I are both musicians, and we're really into music, and we both have a soft spot for the 80s, but we also have a very soft spot for the 90s, and I was remarking that with 90s music, the fact that that's in vogue now, and people are like, oh, I love the 90s. I'm like, wasn't the 90s like 2 days ago? And then I start to be like, I'm old. I'm really old now. It's 2014. It's almost 2015. The 90s were 15 years ago.
The end of the 90s.
Yeah, the end of the 90s.
So it's like the 90s are 20 years ago.
Like
really.
The presidents of the United States and all that, that was 20 years ago.
Some of the stuff happened at the end of the 90s, man. I mean, you're talking like Clueless was late 90s. Yeah.
No way.
No, Clueless was 95.
That's like, yeah,
no,
that's straight up mid-90s.
Okay, well, Can't Hardly Wait was like 90s.
Yeah, that was 90s.
Pokemon.
Pokemon was in the 90s.
Pokemon was
95, 96. You're talking about the movie.
Pokemon?
Which one are you talking about? The game didn't come out in 98.
Yeah.
It came
America,
out in 98.
Oh, really? I just thought it was earlier than that. Sorry.
November 98.
So, like, what are your... Like, I guess I just want to talk about... Because I really love 90s alt-rock and, like, you know, I was a rap rock and all that kind of stuff. But I just feel like with a lot of different genres, there's good stuff having. Hip-hop, like, a lot of really excellent stuff. So, like, what are your remembrances of 90s music and what are some of your favorite bands and songs? Maybe some of your least favorite band songs. I also think some of the worst music comes from the 90s, i.e. Yeah. The Macarena or something like that.
Sure. Was Linkin Park... I'm pretty sure they're 2000s.
Hybrid Theory was 2000s.
Oh, man.
But so close. Limp Bizkit was coming up in 311.
Yeah.
That was all 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Significant Other.
When was Oasis?
That's Oasis the 90s, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. They were great.
I'm a fan of the 90s.
Oh, man.
90s had like the...
Wonderwall? That was such a song.
I think people don't remember the 90s as fun. Like, people in our generation, Tim, because you were like 40 years behind us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we... When you start thinking back of it, on it... Like, on a first glance, I'm like, the 90s was not the best decade I've lived through. The 80s was awesome. Yes. So much cool stuff happened in the 80s. Like, you know, TV started reigning supreme. All this stuff happened. Big blockbuster movies. They have and all that stuff. Then you think of the 90s, it's like a dry spell, kind of. And then you start really digging into it. And there was like a lot of great stuff that happened in the 90s.
For sure.
A lot of great stuff.
For sure.
Let's dig into that.
The 90s is amazing.
Let's unpack. Can we unpack that?
Yeah, we can. Absolutely.
First of all, Colin, like, it's no secret who your favorite band is.
Yeah, 311 is my favorite 311. Band. And they come, I mean, so they, I mean, they were.
We have to sing a 311 song every time Colin says it.
They were, they
and
were.
And I don't know any. So I just say this.
Beautiful Disaster.
Beautiful Disaster. I don't even know that one.
No, it does.
Transistor, track 4. So they were technically founded in 1988, but like they are a 90s band.
Mm.
For sure.
I mean, just like that they're a career band. Like they're still going today. Mm-hmm. Like they've made, like this is their
same
career.
Lineup.
They have their niche. They have their thing they do. Like,
they tour twice a year, like every year. Like they sell out those tours.
Yeah, I remember seeing them. They came to Irvine in like 2002, and I was like, damn, they are still going? Because at that point, I thought they were kind of long in the tooth, but I guess they're still,
what are they,
70
not,
now?
Not many bands
they're
last
like in their
25
mid,
years.
Yeah, they're like in their mid-40s. I mean, their guitarist joined, like replaced their other guitarist in like 1989, and they've been in the same.
I thought you were going to say their guitarist replaced his hip.
I just love that they're the same lineup. It's not the same. It's like Alice in Chains like toured for a while. They're talking about 90s bands.
I mean,
Alice in Chains is awesome, but like Lane Staley died, and then they just replaced the singer. Now, Jerry Cantrell can sing, and actually, like, a lot of people don't realize that in a lot of their famous songs, he is singing. Like,
he sings harmonies.
Yeah. Well, like, I'll be broken by my master. That's him. Yeah. Like, that's him singing. That's, like, one of the most iconic parts of anyone's
song. Isn't that Wood? Isn't that... Off the Singles soundtrack?
Oh, man.
So you have a 90s movie.
See, damn.
It's so... Yeah, so...
Singles, another great film.
Like, so I always, like... So, they kind of got away with... Like, that's always weird, but I like a band that tours... Or it's like, I saw Journey a few years ago. And they're awesome, but... And the singer sounds just like...
the new singer.
Like, yeah, like Perry. See Perry, but... It's not the same, you know? So I like a band that travels around, does that kind of thing. But, mm-hmm. So yeah, Three Elements. But like when I think about, I don't even think about them as a 90s band because they kind of transcend for me. I think about Green Day. I think about No Doubt. I think about Spin Doctors. I think about Rage. I think about
Do you think the Toadies. You think Ska?
Silverchair.
Remember Ska? Oh,
yeah, Ska was awesome.
Because Ska kind of
Boston's exploded. Urge. Like there was like a great Ska band.
I'm just going to throw three words out. Squirrel Nut Zipper.
Yeah, the Squirrel Nut Zipper.
Remember that band?
That one record with Hell on it.
Yeah, that's it.
That was one of the last tapes I ever bought before I started buying CDs.
Oh. You know who just put out a new record? Rancid.
Yeah, Rancid's awesome,
right?
Dude. And Out Come the Wolves is like such
an
awesome record.
Yeah, that album is awesome.
Yeah, that's with like Time Bomb, Ruby Soho, mm-hmm. Roots Radical. Mm-hmm. Really, really good songs. So there's like a lot of great... That it's just so dense with awesome music.
Well, let's not skip over Faith No More.
Oh, Faith No More, of course. Again, a band that started in the '80s, but really didn't come to prominence until 1991.
The real thing was like 89.
Yeah.
But then Angel Dust was 91,
which is their best record.
Yeah. One of my favorite.
It's crazy that you're naming a lot of groups and a lot of types of music that I just skipped over completely. Like it just, I think I was too young at that to like get that. Well, yeah, but at that point, I didn't like rap and hip hop. So to me, 90s music is two very different things: boy bands and then hip hop. But the hip hop is mainly me going back in the 2000s, going back to the 90s. Because
what's the greatest boy band to come out of the 90s?
NSYNC. There's no.
I mean, that's the one that gave us Justin Timberlake, right?
Yeah,
Jay-Z. Yeah, he has staying power.
Yeah, but yeah, 90s was the years of the boy band.
Yeah.
And
I mean, they're still
the
kind of
Spears
around, but they're all like
it's a different now. They're foreign boy bands.
Yeah.
They just wear a lot of scarves. There's always a
lot of scarves.
Like every time I see a picture of a boy band, if it's more than four people, three of them have scarves.
Mm.
And they're like flowy. They don't do what they're in LA. Like you don't need a scarf in LA. Back of your neck's gonna sweat the entire time.
I don't think you can ever look at a boy band and they don't need anything ever.
the guy from NSYNC didn't need the laces in his hair.
Yeah.
What was his name? Chris?
Chris Kirkpatrick.
Yeah, he was a badass.
What about Spice Girls? Were they?
Yes.
Yeah, they were nice.
Yeah, so Spice Girls, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, O-Town, 90 Degrees. Yeah, Nick Lachey.
90 Degrees is like the forgotten. Well, not even because there are really obscure boy bands that had like one hit.
Yeah, 98 Degrees. I'd say they're like the B tier.
Yeah,
I'd say
they're
not that low.
Well, what about New Kids on the Block? Is that more 80s?
That's
80s.
That's 80s.
Yeah.
But they existed
some crossover
in the 90s.
Into the early 90s.
But I would consider them more like 88, 89 when they were. Because
really now they're doing the cruises. New Kids on the Backstreet Boys, where it's them and Backstreet Boys doing a joint.
Like on like a cruise ship?
Yeah,
yeah, that's the new thing that all these bands are doing. 311 does it, Bare Naked Ladies, like all these random bands are like doing cruises like that are for their fan. They must make a ton of money.
Do you know there's a Kid Rock cruise every year?
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh, I believe
it. Which is like thousands of rednecks on this cruise ship for a long weekend.
Totally my old hockey coach.
How crazy would that be?
My old hockey coach used to love Kid Rock.
Who
like,
did?
My old hockey coach in high school. He was like in his 20s. He's an awesome guy. And like, he's just...
My
he's
name
fucking
is...
love Kid Rock. Like, he's like... It's still one of the things I remember most.
Okay, let's stop. Let's stop for a second. Okay. We all loved Kid Rock when he came out.
That first...
I was never a fan, but I never bought that stuff.
But that first record was pretty good. I knew some people that had that record.
What was he? Was he in another band first, or like how did he became? How did he really become famous? Was he just always just Kid Rock?
The only thing I remember him was that he had the little guy in his band that died, and also Uncle Cracker was his DJ who then spun off and did his own thing. That's the only thing I remember about Kid Rock, and like a few of his songs. I wasn't really into it, which was weird because he was kind of like rap rock, and I just wasn't really.
You're a big rap rock,
and I just wasn't into it.
The '90s was Rage. It was Raging Some Machine.
Oh, Rage is so good, dude! Yeah. I didn't even know.
That was just like
it's so hard for people to believe. Like I was so into Rage. Which is like hyper liberal, like socialist, like messages, and I love it. And I still listen to it today, and I'm like, man, they're so smart. You know, Tom Morello went to Harvard and stuff, so it's like they're smart guys. But I used to wear like Rage shirts with like really provocative messages on them. I remember there was one shirt with like a nuns holding machine guns that I had or whatever. And I was like, what are you wearing?
There's no equivalent today. There's no like hyper political band like Rage Against the Machine.
None that
no.
sell it, you know.
Yeah, none that, like, none that are, like being played on Top 40's radio.
Yeah, no, or none.
To Zach and he was just like screaming yeah. stuff, and you were like, yeah. I believe that this guy believes what he's talking about.
Well, I feel like Lupe Fiasco is like the closest thing to that now. Like he's super.
Is he? I guess yeah, I'm not familiar. Yeah.
No, he like I can't believe he got away with some of the shit he says on the radio and stuff, and like it's popular music, and he just kind of says shit just to like start shit. So it's like, fuck that. But, I mean, it is super ridiculously political in a way that reminds me of Rage Against the Machine. Mm. It's just, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
So. Yeah, me and my Ramon.
Ramon.
My best friend from college, and I used to joke around that the FBI would always be in the crowd at Rage Against the Machine shows with, like, a folder just, like, writing things down.
Like, probably.
Because they're just, like, because these guys are, like, pretty militant. But they're awesome. Yeah, I think, I don't know.
You got to go a little earlier, too. You guys are forgetting, like, a huge portion of...
So you're talking about, like, grunge.
Yeah. I mean, you think 90s, you got to think grunge. You got to think Pearl Jam. You got to think Nirvana. You've got to think, I guess, Soundgarden, I guess.
So, Soundgarden, who are just putting out a new album soon, I think. And then Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, STP's fucking awesome.
They're really good, right?
The Purple and Core are really good records. I like Purple. I like Purple more. A lot of people like Core more, but...
Do you like the Hidden Track, the last Hidden Track on Purple? It's so good.
There's a special band. I was so happy I got to see them. That was like one of the bands where I didn't think it was like similar with Faith No More when I got to see them. Like I it was a band where I was like I thought I might have missed my chance. Mm-hmm. And then
was Faith No More the band? What is this?
Yeah. What is it?
What is it? Yeah.
Yeah, they're a San Francisco band too, and I saw them at the Warfield a couple years ago. Cheryl's not even into them, and I brought her with me, and she was like, "That was amazing," because they opened with From Out of Nowhere and just like fucking punched you in the face, and I was like, "Oh, this is awesome." And they're all old. They're like in their late 40s, and they're still like the bassist who like, you know, plays all slap and like crazy. He's all bald now, and he's just like headbanging and like going nuts. Like,
oh god, yeah. And then there was you got the Chili Peppers too.
Excellent.
They started technically in the 80s though, right?
Yeah, Mother's
Milk. They're another one of those 80s bands that kind of made it in.
It was Blood Sugar Sex Magic that blew up.
Yeah, so that was like 91.
Under the Bridge.
Yeah. God, that was so good, man. That was just like, that just makes me think of Point Break, which makes you think of fucking P. Swayze. Oh, 90s were a good time.
Yeah. It makes you think of Point Break because they have bit parts in it.
Yeah, Anthony Kiedis in it.
He blows his foot off.
They're awesome. Yeah, they do have weird... I mean, and Flea's in Lebowski, which is so weird. There's all these, like, weird... There's all these, like,
how does that happen?
They just have good agents that are like, you're Chili Peppers, you want to go in?
I mean, yeah, I guess so.
You're Chili Peppers.
You want it's just like... I mean, if you're doing a movie in the 90s and, like, they're like, do you want Anthony Kiedis to be in your movie for, like, a bit part? I'm like, sure, why not? Yeah.
It's like there are all these random movies where Henry Rollins
has
a
but it's random. It's like...
He was in a lot. He was in like Johnny Mnemonic. You're like, what are you doing, Henry Rollins? He's like, you know, because he's super political.
Yeah.
He would just be like, have one part where he'd talk about how the machines are taking over. It's corporate America. And then he'd like kill someone. You're like, that's cool. Thanks, Henry Rollins.
He's also a terrible neo-Nazi in Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. I haven't gotten through
it. I haven't seen that show yet.
I've watched it. Greg loves that show. So I'm thinking about, now I'm thinking about the mid-90s. And what I'm thinking about with the mid-90s is there's some great bands like Presidents of the United States and whatever that came and kind of went. I think the mid-90s is also emblematic of the rise of the band fronted by women. So, Luscious Jackson, Garbage, No Doubt.
Hole.
There's like a ton of bands. And also the singer-songwriters. So like Natalie Cole, Alanis Morissette.
Jewel.
Oh, like, man. So there's there's like a lot of good stuff in the mid-90s coming from women.
Tori Amos.
Oh,
Tori Amos.
Sheryl Crow.
There's a lot of them.
Destiny's fucking child.
No, come on.
A little later, right? I mean, they rose in 96 or so, but they... What was it like? Like 98 or 99 was when anyone really gave a fuck.
It was in like Bootylicious, was that?
TLC.
TLC was a little earlier, so that was like in their early mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, man. So good.
Salt and Pepper.
Salt and Pepper is the...
I mean, yeah. Push It was in... That's the like mid-80s song.
But Want a Man, I think, was like maybe early 90s.
Yeah, I mean, feel like they came back.
Let's Talk About Sex.
Yeah. It's just progressive.
And then I agree with like the late 90s. That's when we got into... So there was like a weird thing in the late 90s. You had like really weird shit like Orgy and Marilyn Manson and all that kind of stuff. Then you had...
Well, there was a big like electronica explosion
right.
in the late 90s with like, you know, you mentioned Orgy, but there's also like Fatboy Slim.
Oh, yeah.
And Chemical Brothers and...
Prodigy.
Yeah, all those guys.
Oh, Prodigy was awesome.
Yeah, Fat of the Land. Now, that was a great record. That was one of the first CDs I ever bought. And that was an awesome...
Oh, y'all, Firestarter.
Yeah.
Twisted
Firestarter. Remember how big that Moby album was?
Moby still does stuff, right?
Sure, yeah. He still
Moby does a lot of like movie soundtracks and stuff now.
He's like all the Bourne movies. Man.
more. You're like, yeah. Wow, spin that shit. It's good. Fucking dope. Good job, Moby.
But yeah, rap, man. Yeah, I think rap is what it all comes back to. Because
take a one step back for a second. We're going to talk rap in a second. Mm-hmm. I know you've been itching to talk about this. Just did want to give a shout out to No Doubt, Gwen Stefani, mm-hmm. back in the day. Still hot.
Yeah.
Unbelievably good looking back in
the
day.
Yeah, she was awesome. She looks the same today.
She looks identical.
She's exactly the same. She's in her 40s.
She's the female Keanu Reeves.
She's in her 40s. She looks amazing.
Yeah, she's absolutely absolutely.
Did you guys see her on the Jimmy Fallon lip sync battle thing?
No, did she do one of those?
Yeah, it was the worst.
Was it
the worst?
See, I don't know that she like has like a sense of humor or much of a personality.
No, she does. She does. She's great, but it's just like I think that she just didn't. She wasn't able to do someone else's thing that well. It was weird. It was really weird. I expected it to
like
be.
She's not like an actress.
Good.
Like the people that do well, those are actors.
Emma Stone. Right? Emma Stone is the best.
Yeah,
by far.
And before we talk about hip hop, because I think we should close on hip hop because it is essential. It really is integral. Just want to give two shout outs real quick to bands that a lot of people don't really think about that I really loved in the 90s. One is Bare Naked Ladies. Before Stunt came out, before 1 Week, they were really, really, really awesome. They were a great band. I saw them a bunch of times live with my sister. They were one of the first bands I ever saw live. Albums like Gordon and Born on a Pirate Ship are excellent albums still to this day, and people should go check those out. The other band is Ben Folds 5.
Oh, yeah.
Which is essential.
They were awesome.
Piano rock.
I think that's for you.
If you're not going to eat this apple pie soon, please offer it to your friends tonight. Cheryl made homemade apple pie on Sunday.
Okay, Cheryl, we'll have a slice. Thanks.
That might have sounded a little weird.
Not for this show.
Okay, no, that's true. Ben Folds 5, awesome too. Self-titled album, Whatever and Ever Amen, and Reinhold Messner, awesome fucking album.
Sadly, I always got them confused with Three Doors Down, which was like
Three Doors Down's fine too, but different band.
Very similar sound.
Yeah, very similar.
I was like, who's what? Ben Folds what? What is he doing? Five of them.
So that's it. Let's talk about rap.
So, baby, I will argue till the day I die that rap is better now than it ever was. If you're looking in the right places. That's the thing. You got to be listening to the right people.
Yeah, this sounds like a very inflammatory statement. So please explain yourself.
I'm saying
incendiary right now, my friend.
But I will argue that. But if I'm arguing it, I'd be arguing it against people that are saying that early 90s rap is the best.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're arguing?
No. People would be arguing me saying that.
Okay.
That's second to what's going on now. But what was going on then, we got Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We got Tupac. Oh. We got Biggie. Mm-hmm. We got Jay-Z. We got Nas. We got Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
What? That's...
Yeah, you got the whole Death Row, like...
Yeah, we got all that stuff, too.
You're forgetting a lot, too. De La, The Far Side.
You're forgetting Snoop. Public Enemy and Beastie Boys.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, if you ask anyone who, like, top five, they're going to name at least three of those probably in their top five.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to say Tupac.
That's insane.
I think Tupac was the most influential artist to come out of that period. Because he died. And that's
The problem with Tupac is I feel like a lot of people are fake fans of Tupac. They say they like him, but they don't really.
I wasn't a fan at all.
It's one of those things that's like, oh, what are your, like, name three songs. And they're just like, Changes, Dear Mama, and they just can't. Have you noticed that?
I couldn't name three Tupac songs. If I heard Tupac songs, I'd be like, oh yeah, I remember that. I was not a huge fan.
Oh yeah, he's very recognizable.
But I mean, again, I've gone back and said that hip hop was not my thing until later, and there's only select things that I like about hip hop that I'm now gaining exposure to 90s hip hop. Going, oh god, man, I wasted my life back then. When was Eazy-E? Was he in the 80s?
N.W.A. was
that 80s?
Late 80s.
I count them as 90s though. Like they really did shit in the early 90s.
I don't know about that.
I mean, I guess here's what I think. Like, even like to me, 88 on counts as 90s. It's like 88 to 98.
No, that's 80s. I always get NWA and Two Life Crew mixed up for some reason.
No, the reason that I don't count the 90s starting like 88.
Two Life Crew
is
me so horny.
Yeah, I know.
Those were awesome 80s years for other reasons. We can do another topic about hair metal one day because I can talk about hair metal all fucking day. Because it's fucking awesome.
It is awesome.
You want to talk shit about Rat?
Poison? Motley Crue? Or is that too mainstream?
No, that's awesome. I love even like I always say and I always joke around, Enough is Enough is still like one of my favorite hair metal bands because like no one even knows who the fuck they are.
Like, but like what song do they do?
New Thing. You can look at that. Enough is Enough.
I'm sure I'd recognize
it. Oh, you would. It's awesome.
I told you I went on a date one time with a girl. She took me to this concert down in Irvine. Dude, the Verizon Amphitheater. No, it was Poison Rat.
Yeah, my brother went on that tour.
That was
like
so ridiculous.
He saw him in like Hartford or something. I was like, "That's awesome." He's like, "I'm seeing Rat and Poison."
Yeah, that's
like, really are you cool. fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I think, lose my mind if I saw Rat live. I love those guys.
It's pretty amazing.
They're so awesome.
They're old.
Sadly. Now, Yeah, 90s hip-hop's awesome. I think that...
I just haven't heard the argument for why it's better now.
Well, yeah. I'm saying if you go to the right places, I'm not saying that mainstream rap
are the
is
right
better.
Places.
Actually, that's the other thing, though, is I feel like there are a lot of good mainstream artists on the radio now, even compared to back then. Because back then, it's not like we were getting a lot of these people on the radio, you know? Like, that you still had to, like, that was all word-of-mouth shit, and, like... Like, De La wasn't playing on the radio.
No. You know what I mean? But I don't think any... Yeah, I agree with you. Like, they had a few tracks on the radio that were pretty big, but no, they maintained through word of mouth. And also geographic loyalty, I think. Because I think... That's the same way I liked Biggie when I was a kid over Tupac. I was like, well,
he's East Coast.
He's East Coast. Yeah. I mean, I'm from the East Coast. I mean, I even identified that when I was, like, 10 years old. You know, I was, like, playing with, like, you know, G.I. Joe's, where I'd be like, yeah, I'm a Biggie guy.
But my thing is that I feel like that because of the internet and because of just the fact that tools have gotten easier to use for everybody, the people that grew up on the 90s stuff, which was the good stuff, because before that, it wasn't that good. It was just like a bunch of like nursery rhyme bullshit. Majority.
No, I agree with that. I think 80s rap is really important for the genome of the rap. But I agree with you. Like, I can't go back and listen to a lot of that shit, except for the Beastie Boys. Like, and some select and other things. Like, but most of it is like very...
So then I feel like then the 90s kind of like made it a real thing and got like really good in certain places. There was also a lot of really bad 90s rap too. And then the 2000s was just like it
went to
fucking hell. And it was so bad. But then now I feel like it's the people that learned from the 90s, wanted to correct the 2000s, and it's they're allowed to just keep doing their own thing. And they don't need it to perform on the radio stuff because who gives a shit about the radio when they have the internet?
Yeah,
so,
sure.
There is some great hip hop today. Like, I love Currency. I love Wiz Khalifa. I love, like, there's a lot of guys that, like, I really love, like, that are awesome. But if I had to choose, we had to go on a desert island or whatever scenario. Yeah. And I was like, I can bring 10 albums with me, 10 rap albums. I might bring, like, one or two from today. Like, I'd probably bring Bun B's trilogy. I'd probably bring Currency's The Stone Immaculate. But everything else would probably go bring me back to the 90s. You got to bring De La Soul, Balloon Mind State. You got to bring De La Soul. Stakes is High. You got to bring Wu-Tang's 36 Chambers. You got to bring... I mean, there's like, you know, there's... Oh God, it's overwhelming. I would even... But I love Eminem. Like, I'd probably even bring Eminem's first two records. I'd bring... You know, so it's like... The good news is that it's all good. Like, there's... Yeah. And everywhere you are, there's good stuff. I think rock has fallen significantly. Much further than I think rap has fallen. I'll give you that.
Yeah. See, my thing with the rap is anybody that's arguing that shit, I'd say listen to any album by the group Cunning Linguist and tell me that that isn't leaps and bounds better than that shit.
Yeah, I think the only problem I have is like there's, I don't know, everything just maybe because it is so easy, it's hard to separate the good from the bad because there's so much more of it now that we're getting inundated by. So I don't disagree that there's probably a lot of good sound out there, but it's hard to get to because
I mean, that's all I'm saying.
So much of it.
Yeah, there is. You need to know
like
where
to
get it.
Back in the day, in the mid-90s, if you were popular, it's because you had hit such a level that no one could touch you. And as long as you kept putting out something good, you were going to stay on top for a while.
But even then, back then you had to have the single. Like Eminem couldn't do it without My Name Is.
You had to have a video on MTV.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So
the one thing I'll say, and I won't play it for too long, I'll play it for only a few seconds, is that the one thing, I always tell Cheryl this, like, the one thing that early and mid-90s hip-hop does to me is it makes me very nostalgic. I feel like it sounds, a lot of it, very nostalgic. And I'm not even talking about, like, the gangster rap, I'm talking more about the laid-back, like, kind of De La Soul-ish kind of rap, like, the more...
Well, I think that's because of the samples. Like, the early 90s was so sample-heavy, and a lot of it was the record, so you hear the, like... Little rapper,
they were sampling
like
you know, like funk and soul stuff from the 70s. So.
But this song specifically does it for me, and I want people to listen to the whole thing, just the beginning of it.
You're gonna get a copyright flag.
Yeah, we'll do
YouTube.
It real quick. We'll do it real quick because it's only a few seconds. Oh wait, I gotta hold on a sec. Wrong volume. volume. Ringer volume. Good. Okay.
Yep.
Just that like laid back.
Yeah, it was like. You're talking
they
about
don't like, make them like this.
Yeah, to me,
know, like,
that
they do. They totally do make them like this.
No.
Do you like? Do you know Run the Jewels?
Who?
Run the Jewels?
No.
Check it out.
Okay.
Oh, that was a good topic. I enjoyed that topic very much. I love music.
For the long time, for the longest time, I thought the 90s had sucked. But now that
yeah,
I look back at everything,
thinking, yeah, you start unpacking.
Like, the 90s were awesome. Total Recall came out in the 90s.
Oh, it did.
Yeah. 91. So did T2.
Yeah, T2
did. So
it's a very eclectic. It's a very eclectic decade. It's a decade that we hold close to our hearts because we all grew up in that decade. But it's also a very formidable decade in terms of everything: movies, music, books, video games, everything. It's a really special decade. It's not as special as the 80s, but it's special. It's
Yeah, for me, like, you know, coming from cinema, like you're talking about, movies, I think one could argue that get better as you go backward in time. Because now we're sort of like...
What?
We've got amazing films now, but I'm not as excited about some of the stuff that's happening as I was 2 years ago. And then I will never be as excited about a movie as I was when I was like 9. Right? Maybe that's just because I was 9. But in the 80s also, yeah, you were seeing new stuff all the time. Like, Jurassic Park blew my mind. I'm like, that is a dinosaur. They got a dinosaur. They grew it up. They fed it. Humans. And then they trained it. Steven Spielberg trained a dinosaur to be on camera.
The beauty of Jurassic Park, by the way, and we went with this as a tangent, it's just like, that movie still looks fucking awesome.
It looks good.
And it's because they didn't overthink it. It's like all real. You know what I mean? It's not like, it's not like, it's obviously not a real dinosaur, but it's just like, Spielberg and those guys like understood posterity that like the movie would look better if they didn't fuck around too much.
Yeah, you know? When Laura Dern's leaning up on the Triceratops, right? Like, it's not like, it's not CGI.
No, it's a real thing.
It's very cool. Very, like, really wonderful looking movie. So yeah, that was a good topic.
Good topic.
Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.
Thanks, Colin. Mm-hmm. Good topic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tim.
Yes.
You're batting cleanup. You're last today. What is your topic?
What is love?
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Speaking of the 90s.
It's a deep question.
It is a really deep question.
That's existential. Thanks for saving that for the last.
Mm-hmm. Let's unpack it.
All right, everybody, put the suitcase down.
So I think the easy thing to answer is love is a feeling. We need to do a
podcast called Unpack with Colin and Nick.
My God.
Right, everyone, let's unpack this.
You think love is a feeling?
Love is a feeling.
It's an emotion. It's a basic human emotion.
Yes. Is
it? Okay.
I think that, like, because it's hard to say, it's similar questions, what is art? And those are the, like, I think the two things that you're like, you know,
really
have an
answer.
What is art
is subjective, but is what love is subjective?
I think it is.
I don't think so. I think what people choose to love is subjective, but I think the way people love, the general feeling, is probably pretty similar from human being to human being. If I love something, if I love my wife and you love your girlfriend, those feelings that we have are probably pretty similar between, you know, the way we both do it. I'm not talking about the love of material things, like I love my car, I love my hat, or something like that.
Love that PS4.
That's more of
a PS4, I'll tell you what.
That's more of like a physical sort of like, you're bonded to something because you interact with it and things like that. But I think on a very base level, it's a chemical sort of reaction, and then eventually turns into a life, like a long-lasting bond between two things or two people.
Well, so is the love between people different than like the love of things? Even if it's not a material thing, just like your love
for...
Is
it just amplified?
I think it's... I mean, I would say it's probably amplified due to the sexual...
I mean, like, do you love your girlfriend as much as a thing that you love?
Don't ask Tim that question.
Yeah.
Tim puts all things on the same level. He's like, I like Coke better than I like my girlfriend.
I love Coke.
It's good. Mm-hmm. I think that there's, obviously, I think the love you feel for another human being is a little bit more amplified, like you're saying, just because it is, there's a lot of other emotions that go into loving a, you know, someone who you have a physical interest in. You know, if it's a sexual interest or if you have a relationship, you're going to have, there's a lot of physical contact with them. You just don't get, well, some people do maybe, but out of like a car or, you know, a gun or something cool like that, or a PS4, where you're like, you know, it's more complex, I think, with human beings. But yeah, I think at a base level, you see something you like and you want it and you obsess about it, and then it goes from there, you know.
It's tough. That's a good question. It's a good question.
Oh, can I try that?
Yeah.
No, I can't do it. I can't do it. Because you breathe in with, like, your mouth's open, but you're breathing in through the nose. It's tough. It's a tough question. I just I can't do it.
It's a hard question. What it, like, love for me has evolved in terms of relationships, but the love of a parent or the love of a sibling or the love of a friend seems to kind of stay the same. I think love is many different kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely an evolution of a core companionship that I think animals have. For instance, like, presumably, like, aren't there certain animals like dolphins or whales or whatever that have like partners, some birds and stuff that have like partners for life? That's like kind of where it comes from. Like, they do love that other thing, that other bird, that other pelican, whatever the hell it is, but like they don't
pelican,
they don't look
pelican
at it, they're not self-aware, so they don't line. Love requires a self-awareness.
I'm in love,
right? Exactly. They're just like, well, I'm ride or die for this pelican. Yeah,
this pelican is my homie.
And but I think that in terms of being in love, like in love with a girl or a guy, is like, that's evolved for me very much. Like,
oh, yeah.
Every time I think I know what it means, I actually don't know what it means. I think now, you know, I've been with Cheryl for like 6 years. It's like, that to me is like a love so much more profound than the in love I was with my girlfriend in college, for instance, when I genuinely was in love with her. But it's not the same as the love I feel now. So I think that love isn't necessarily defined, because I think in that sense it seems to evolve. Then again, like, what is the difference between loving someone and being in love with someone? Like, I'm in love with my girlfriend, would die for my girlfriend, absolutely, she's a great person, like my partner and stuff, but like, I also love my parents in a very deep and profound way. I'm not in love with them, but I love them. Mm-hmm. And like, what is the difference between that kind of love? Because I'd also maybe die for my parents, you know? Like, yeah, that's, you know, it's a weird kind of, it is, I think it is nebulous. I think you're right. I think that it's not defined. I don't know. I think it's different for a lot of different people.
So can you love things?
Yes.
Like, is love still the right word to be used?
I think you can love things. I love football.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love cheeseburgers. You know, like,
I you're saying, though, that the like, you love family, mm-hmm, and the in-love relationship. Then there's a third love that's for video games, mm-hmm, or stuff like that.
Maybe we use it too much.
Or is there just, yeah. Do you just strongly like things?
I think it's a very similar feeling. I don't think, I'm not afraid to say that you can love different things different ways, and there's, but it's the same baseline feeling. It is different, though, being in love versus loving something, because I'm in love with my wife, but I also love her more deeply than I have ever had today. You know, like, when you commit to someone and you're with that person and you're saying that we're going to give this a go and try to be together forever, that takes on a very profound meaning and a very, very, on a very deep level. It's crazy to think that, like, there's just no doubt you're just going to be there for that person. That's just the way it's going to go. Because you love each other. Not because you're in love with each other, but because you love and respect each other and want to be there for each other.
But what is that?
It's love.
Like, what is that?
It's love.
I just feel like that's kind of just like...
Well, I think at first...
Not,
I mean,
really answering.
No,
it,
but they say, you know, they say at first that all love starts with sort of lust, right? So those deep feelings, those crazy feelings you felt in college, not, aren't necessarily what is more... is like a traditional love. It's more of a sort of lustful sort of passion that you're caught up in. And then once those feelings subside, that's when... You know, you can start angling over to the love stuff. I might be digging myself in the weeds here, but you know, I think back to the college loves or the high school loves that I had, and it was like a flashbang, right? It just boom, and then it was over. And you're like, what was I even thinking? It was so easy to get over that person, or maybe it wasn't, but
it felt real at the time.
Yeah, it felt real at the time, but it doesn't feel like it does now, where I have someone I've been with for 7 years, and she forgives me for things that she shouldn't, because I'm a complete idiot most of the time and annoying to her, because she wants to. That's love.
Would the dictionary definition help us at all?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Love, a profoundly tender, passionate affection for another person.
For another person.
Interesting.
Okay.
You do form tight bonds with material things, though.
I mean, so a second definition is a feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection.
Yeah.
So, like, that could be to...
Or other stuff.
This reminds me of what was the definition where it was like, and the like...
It was a hot dog.
Sandwiches. We were looking up the definition of sandwiches.
It's like meats to define it was between two pieces of bread and the like, and you're like, I can't deal with this.
Yeah, and like,
this
and is, the like, what does that mean? Could it be a burrito? Yeah, it's... I think that there are just different kinds of love. I don't think that one's necessarily more profound than the other. For instance, you know, I think that the love I feel for my girlfriend is equivalent to the love I feel for my family, but they're different kinds of love, you know? But I think that they're pretty much on the same level.
Yeah.
You know, like, the love I feel for hockey or football is below that, but I love it. You know, mm-hmm, playing drums or bass, like, playing video games, all the weird, you know, history and all that kind of shit. Like, that's a love, but that's lower. I think that there's a pyramid.
Yeah.
But again, it's all about definition, because, for instance, you were talking about, like, I look back at some of the things I used to be upset about with people I thought I was in love with or really just liked when I was a kid, and I remember being, like, really upset over a girl in high school, like, fucking profoundly upset. And I look back at that now, and I was like, what the fuck did I care for? Like, that's how you know that it's, like, not the love you thought it was.
Right.
Same thing with in college, how heartbroken I was when I broke up with that girl in college. And I look back, and it was a very important learning lesson for me. And she was a great girl, and we had a good time. But it was like, why was I so upset about it? You know? Like, so I think it evolves and becomes deeper and deeper, actually, as you get older. Mm. And maybe you refine it a little bit more. And also the love of friends. Like, there are people, you know, like, there are people in this world, like Ramon, where, you know, I love him so deeply that, like, you know, I offer to, you know, fly him out here. I offer to do, you know, like, it's almost like you're willing to part with money or material things to make someone else happier.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a lot of different kinds of definitions and checkboxes that I think you have to hit. That's a little weird that you might want not do for a normal acquaintance.
Yeah. See, it's interesting to me because I feel like a lot of defining love is just saying, well, because I love this, I do this. But you're not really saying what the love is. You know, I'm not saying that about just you guys, but it's just like, I think that's what makes it so interesting is that it isn't anything. It's just, it's something that exists that makes you do other shit. And it's the reason for doing things.
Well, it's one of the, probably, the leading motivations for living. Right? Mm. I mean, so it's like, you can't overstate how powerful and important it is.
The power of love.
And how devastating it can be when you lose it.
Huey Lewis spoke about this. Yes. The great poet.
I mean, if we need to just listen to that song, he's the final word on this,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Oh, Huey Lewis is so good.
It's not Hathaway?
It's also, who did Glory of Love?
Oh, not Brian Adams. No. Peter Gabriel?
Yeah.
Yeah, Peter Gabriel.
No. It's not Peter Gabriel. Peter Cetera.
Peter Cetera. Chicago.
Like a knight in shining armor. From a long time ago.
You're going to get a true story.
True story. Karate Kid 2 came on the other day. My wife's sitting on the couch reading the Cosmopolitan magazine. Might have been an Us Weekly. Sorry for the call out, babe. She does not listen to this show. She'll never know that. Karate Kid 2 comes on. She goes, turn it off. And I'm like, why? It's just Karate Kid 2. She goes, is this the one with the song? And I was like, I know exactly what the song you're talking about. Yes, this is the one with the song. She goes, how does it go again? And I was like, well, you know, I am a man. She's like, stop talking. If I hear that song, I will start crying. It is so powerful to her. It brings back some weird nostalgic memory that I literally pulled up the lyrics on my phone and read them to her. And she started tearing up. And I started tearing up. And I was like, this is a fucking powerful song. Yeah. Turn it off and put it away. Only bring it out when you
have to. What is that? That's just that emotion, right there.
Well, I mean, that's just it. I guess it's love.
Any emotion is hard to describe, I think. The things that make you sad or happy or elated or, you know. Like,
that's more nostalgia, though, I think. Because, yeah, I mean, it was whatever the emotion it evokes. And that's why they said, like, true art evokes emotion. Like, anytime you write anything or when you're trying to make a movie, you're trying to inevitably evoke emotion out of people.
So
that's
is love an emotion?
Definitely.
Oh, definitely. I think it is.
So you can evoke love.
Yeah.
Things can evoke love.
Yes.
I think you can evoke feelings of love if you hear, like, a really thoughtful love song. I think... It reminds, like, it can go the opposite direction. Like, the saddest song to me in the world, like, the fucking saddest song is Mike and the Mechanics in the Living Years. That's song a super is sad song. Fucking horrifying.
Which one's that one?
It's the song about how, like, his dad died and he never got a chance to say that he was sorry and that he loved him or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to sing
it. Don't bastardize it.
It's an awesome song. It's a great song. But every time I hear it, I'm like, oh my God. You know, like, Jesus Christ. You know, like
yeah. Well, you know what?
He knew when he was in the studio recording that song, he was just going
to
destroy.
But that's the thing. So this is what happens, right? It's not a one-to-one connection. He's not singing to you. You're not falling in love with his words, or it's not making you think of love. What great art does, or what movies strive to do, is they try to connect you to something in your life that evokes that emotion, right? So when you see two people on screen who are legitimately having that connection and fall in love with each other, that is supposed to make you think of a love that you've had in your life and evoke that emotion that you had then. You're not necessarily connecting with those things, but like when I heard that Peter Cetera song, I remember the time of my life that was like the most innocent. It wasn't a love necessarily that I thought of at first. It was, hey, this was a time of my life when I was like young and I could eat whatever I wanted to, and I just watched movies all day long and I didn't give a shit about my future. It didn't matter. Then I turned over and noticed that it was having that same effect on my wife. That made me love her. Mm-hmm. That made me just think about how much I love my wife. Mm-hmm. Like, we have those things in common. That is the strength of our relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send Peter Cetera a nice email after this. Like he doesn't get enough.
Hit him up on Twitter.
What up?
Yeah, what's he up to?
P. Cetera. He's probably still rocking that song. Yeah.
Do you think that one song made him, like, set him up?
Well,
like,
he was in Chicago, too, right? So it's like, and he wrote all those songs. So, like, just the songwriting credits. That's what's so valuable when you sell a record. If the drummer in Chicago had nothing to do with writing any of those songs, maybe, like, he got his, you know, performance money, and he might get a little bonus like when albums are sold. But the guys who wrote those songs are the guys who were fucking cleaning up.
Mm-hmm. That's why Queen is like insanely wealthy. All of them wrote songs.
Yeah, it's crazy. It wasn't just Freddie. Yeah, it's an interesting question. It's a profound question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, usually
Tim topic.
Well, I was gonna say usually you bring up things that are a little more visceral.
Next week is gonna be what is sex.
That's an easy one.
That's a definition we can
Is it develop. An emotion?
Yeah. No.
Is it no. a feeling?
It's more of a smell, as they say. Oh, we talked about that already.
Oh, that was a good topic and a good episode, guys. Mm. We did okay without Greg today.
I had fun.
Yeah.
I had fun.
It wasn't perfect.
Something felt Like, we were just missing Craig.
Yeah, it was a little vacant. It was a little empty. But we had our friend Damon here.
Yes.
That was nice. Damon, thank you for joining
us. Yeah, I had a good time.
I'm not used to it. Damon, you're very welcome here on the show. Thank you for coming.
Always
and
happy.
Always
happy.
Normally, the person that sits in that chair at least once, really, if not 15 times an episode. No, he looks over at me and just shakes his head. I'll try to say something, and he just doesn't even pay me the courtesy of, like, a courtesy laugh. He just goes. You know that thing he does? Yeah, it's the worst. So thank you for not doing that to me. You may have felt it, but you didn't let me eat it. I would appreciate that.
He would never do that. Damien, thank you for joining us. And of course, thank you out there for coming to listen to the Game of Reggae Show or watching it if you're on YouTube, of course. You can find us here on youtube.com/kindoffunny. If you want the audio, you can go download that at Bandcamp. You can even find the video at Vimeo. You can support us on Patreon. Kindoffunny.com has everything you need if you want to buy merch and all that kind of stuff. We appreciate that. We have the Team Fat shirt. We have the Moriarty Miller and Scarpino Geddes shirts. Mm-hmm. It's very good. It's very good. Everything's very good.
It's a good time to be alive.
It is. It's a great time to be alive.
It's a great time.
And I wouldn't. I don't think it's going to be any better than this. Right?
You're not
now.
Worried about Ebola? You think everything's going to be fine?
I'm a little worried about.
We might have to do that topic at some point because, you know, I keep getting tweets about that. Mm. A lot of people want to hear our thoughts on it. Well, we can get that later. I was terrified of it over the weekend. My wife's like, it's not going to happen. We were totally polar. We're all going to die.
I was in Texas over the weekend.
Yeah,
and people are freaking the fuck out over
there.
Well,
it was actually there, so yeah. I don't know.
It's crazy. I thought I had it yesterday because I was feeling sick. I'm like, I have Ebola.
I would.
God.
I'm conflicted on that because here's the thing about that. And this is going to sound super insensitive, so I'm going to try to tread as lightly as humanly possible on this. If you had that, I know you. You'd try to find a way to capitalize off of having Ebola. And it would be a ridiculous train wreck to watch that happen.
It'd be great. There'd be so many YouTube videos, probably a rap video.
Yeah, an Ebola rap video. We'll save that for another time. Jesus.
All right, you can follow us all on Twitter. Nick is Nick_Scarpino.
There he is.
Don't tweet at Nick Scarpino without the underscore. He doesn't like it.
He does.
He's okay with it?
He's okay. I mean, he's a cool guy.
Okay, he's a nice guy. Maybe we'll have him on the show one day.
I think he wants to get his own followers. I don't think he wants mine.
I understand. Damon is Dame Zero, DameZero. Tim is Tim Geddes, TimGettys. I am No Taxation on Twitter, and you can follow Kind of Funny at Kind of Funny Vids. Don't follow Kind of Funny. That's not us. Kind of Funny Vids is what you want to follow.
Yes.
We'll be back in another week for more The Game Over Greggy Show with Greg Miller, Game Over Greggy himself. Until next time, we'll see you later.